Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any web video network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Hey, everybody. This is Destiny Fox, and right by my side is my husband, Michael.
Hi, everybody. We are so glad you're here with us tonight.
And we're glad to have Kobe back with us. Kobe, it's been a minute.
It's been a while since I've been able to get on.
I know, that old job. I'm glad you're with us tonight.
Good to be here.
I'm about to send Jessica the link here. There we go. She should be jumping on any minute now.
Any minute.
So how's the new job going, Kobe?
Going good. Working a lot of hours, but I'm enjoying it.
Any paranormal activity in the building?
No. They hadn't been long remodeled that wall house, so they've got some new stuff, and they've just finished up remodeling another one. So I think they're trying to update them all and building a brand new one in Buckhannon. So.
Awesome.
I figured a Waffle House would have to be paranormal because they're as cold as a morgue.
Yes, they are.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Kobe, Michael.
Hey.
Hey.
How's everybody doing?
We're doing good.
Doing good.
We've got Kobe back with us tonight.
Yay, that's because he got to go to a better job.
Yeah.
Yay, Kobe, you're back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back. It's been a while.
We're glad to have you. Miss y'all's faces.
I know, girl. We haven't seen you in forever.
When you see me, I'm going to be pretty the next time.
Oh, you're pretty all the time anyway.
I got my hair colored and cut.
Yeah, you sent me a picture. It looks really good. I got mine cut and colored before we went to Connecticut. And, oh, my God, she messed up and got it a little bit too dark. So I had to adjust to a new color.
But it looks great.
It took some getting used to, you know, but she's promised me a free hair color for not getting it exactly right. And I didn't get mad. I told her, I said, I don't have time to be mad at you today. I'll have to be mad another day because I'm in a hurry.
A free hair color is a great thing. I'm just going to say that ain't cheap.
No, they're not. But I was privileged to have a hubby with a nice little credit card, and that actually helped out a lot. Hey, Dylan, come in here. It's been a minute. Come in.
I shared a picture of the hair.
Podcast. Hey, everybody on the podcast.
Hey.
It's not spooky season anymore, but that is a little bit spookier on what you got going on.
Yep.
It is spooky. We had an investigation. We're going to talk a little bit about it tonight. We took two brand new people on an investigation with us, and I thought, oh, my Lord, this is going to be a disaster. Two newbies, you know, but very familiar with paranormal, but never investigated the paranormal. And I want to tell you, they aced it. They aced it. It was good.
What are we talking about tonight?
that's what we're going to talk about tonight, about the case that we did. I know I feel you in on all the cases, like the next day or if you're up that night, you know. Dylan, a lot of people call him Joshua. He's sort of our public relations person and in charge of security when we go places. What would happen to somebody if they came at your mama?
Well, they better not do that. That's all I have to say about that.
There you go. He is definitely my protector.
I honestly think he'd break him in half.
Oh, he would. Trust me, he would in a heartbeat. He loves his mama, and his mama loves him. People have met you at our table, and tell them the good news. What's going to happen next year?
Well, next year, I'm getting married to the love of my life, so that's always good news. And we're also, I'm going to be accepting in a new son, which he's been growing on us all. So I think that's always a good thing. He's definitely a sweetheart. So I definitely think that everything's going to work out. And I'm excited about getting married for the first time and last time. So there's always mixed emotions about that. So that's all I can really say about it, I guess.
Yes. And the biggest plus of all is I love his fiance. She's one of a kind, and she has
yeah.
little 2-year-old Will, and Will, like Joshua said, has grown on us. We love him. He is just a hoot. He keeps us laughing. He is the most precious little baby. Well, I appreciate you jumping on with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. But, yeah. So let us tell you about the investigation that we had last Saturday night. This is a couple that we have investigated before for, and their first claims were client was being scratched, you know, kind of being bullied around. And we had a good investigation at their house, and everything was good. We were able to find out what was going on. We were able to do a house cleansing, and that was that. They didn't have any more problems. But then they bought a house on the other side of Dallas, Georgia, almost to Kennesaw, Georgia, and having problems there. Something totally different, just different claims and all. And, a lot of people wouldn't go back for another investigation, but they're very honest people. And when we went to their house the first time, we were able to validate all the claims. And also at the new house, we were able to pinpoint what their problem was and what they had going on there. Kobe went with us. We had a couple of new people going. We haven't extended the invitation, but we are. He's actually into spiritual warfare. So, Jessica, that's going to help us out a lot. And
it is. Also, I'm sorry.
That's going to help us a lot in that department, because it seems like, I don't know, it's just like, the cases that we get now are a little bit more than they were before. And we've looked at the cases a whole lot different than before. So we took the other person that we took with us, Jessica, is a medium. And she has seen spirits since she was a little girl. And I thought, you know what? We're going to take her with us. And we did. And we go in and we get, you know, all the claims going on. We check out the two rooms that they were having the most activity in. One was their guest bedroom. And Kobe and Michael did an investigation in there. Yes. Tell us what happened in there.
Well, we went into the guest bedroom, I guess you would call it, or it's they've got it set up like a child's room. We started getting a lot of hits on the REM pod on the bed, which, you know, we looked all over the place. We couldn't find any source in the room for it. But then while we were doing our EVP session.
And we took Big Ronnie with us too. I forgot about that.
And while we were doing the EVP session, we started hearing footsteps walking around us. And nobody was moving. At that point, there was only three of us in there, and we could account for all three people.
You had Joe in there?
Joe, myself, and Kobe.
Kobe, what was the atmosphere like in there?
It was off. And you could definitely tell something was going on when you heard the footsteps. Like Daddy said, we were able to validate that it was none of us moving around.
Right.
You know, at that point, the REM pod's going crazy. It's lit up. And I've never seen one do that. You know, so for it to do that, it was pretty neat to me to be able to see that.
Right. It was actually Peggy. So Big Ronnie, one of our team managers, he can debunk anything or try his best to. So we were able to discover the source of those high EMF readings. Underneath the house in the basement, their power lines from their garage door opener, and it, all down there, all the wiring and stuff was putting out some high EMF. But the most crazy thing about it was that it was going through and through that bed. So I go in the room with everybody, and we've got, Michael had the REM pod, or Kobe did, on the bed, and it's going off like crazy. And it was because of those electrical wires
underneath.
Okay, so this is the crazy thing that happened. And I don't know, maybe you guys have experienced, you know, something like this before, but I have not. When I walked in the room, I'm witnessing that thing, just the REM pod going off, the K2 pegging out. And one of the clients walked in the room, and he said this. He said, okay, there's too many in here for them. That's what it is, that they don't like a lot of people in here. And he walked over to the REM pod, and it stopped going off. Just completely went dead.
Mm-hmm.
The K2 meters stopped going off. So if it were the electrical wires underneath the bedroom down in the basement, why did it all of a sudden stop when the client walked up to it? Jessica, what do you think about that?
Like, his body must have been absorbing it. I don't really know. It's very confusing.
It really is. There is no explanation for this at all.
He does seem like that he had developed whatever they think they had in their house. He seems to have developed an attachment to it. Not the spirit to him, but it seemed more like he was attached to the spirit.
But not too much in a negative way.
No.
You know, it was just the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's almost like, you know, with the attitude, okay, there's too many in here, and they don't like a lot of people in there. So he walks over to the REM pod, and it stops. And then, you know, to me, it's like, okay, that's enough. Time to stop. Kind of feeling that we got. And I'm like, oh, Lord, that has never happened to us on an investigation before. And the possibility of him absorbing the EMF readings, I don't know. I've thought about...
I don't think he's a human battery.
No, I don't know what happened. So...
I mean, really, the only logical explanation is something that's not an explanation at all, and that's the power was cut, but we know it wasn't.
No, power was not cut.
No, the power remained on.
Yeah, the whole time. It was crazy.
But the only logical explanation here to just, like, suddenly for all the electromagnetic field to just be gone is that the power was cut. So if that's not the case, then what is it? If it's not natural, it must be supernatural?
Exactly.
Exactly. You know, the old saying, if it can't be proven by science, then it's got to be paranormal.
Yes.
But, I mean, no signs that the spirit entered into him or anything like that. You know, so nothing, you know, leaning toward that at all. It's just almost like he had power over it. Like, there's just too many people in here. They don't like a lot of people around.
Yeah.
Well, and then he walks over there and it just stops.
Well, we were getting high enough readings, you know, that it, you know, and I explained it to the clients that, you know, it could create a fear cage factor in this, that, you know, over a long period of exposure to those high EMF readings, you could hallucinate and start seeing things that aren't there.
You know, that was a high reading. There's only one other time we went to a property, and that was in Aragon, Georgia.
Yeah,
Aragon. At a friend of ours' house.
Yeah.
And the power lines outside, you go outside, I mean, just walk out their door, and a K2 was pegging out just on the outside. And then, but straight up above were power lines. And, you know, he even actually called the power company and complained that they were throwing out that much EMF.
Yeah. But, you know, it was a situation I wasn't ready to break out the sage because we were trying to pinpoint everything down. We had a lot of claims that we had to follow up on, which we did. And we were able to validate some of those claims that night.
Yeah, we did the majority of them. So after this episode, we moved down into the basement. Okay, we've got our young new medium, and so we walk downstairs, and as soon as we hit the bottom of the stairs in the basement, the energy was off the chart. I could feel it, like, moving around me, you know, and their two vehicles were there, and so we walked off to the right. And they have a pool table there. So I go in, and as soon as I get to the bottom, the end of the pool table that's to the left, it was oblong right there, a burst of energy hit me like crazy. And just as I turned around, the medium started pointing down, and she didn't say anything. She just kept pointing down, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, she feels this energy that I'm feeling. And so I walk away from there, and I look, and she's looking at me, and she's still pointing. And the look on her face was like, you don't see that?
Mm-hmm.
You're not seeing that kind of look? And I didn't see anything, but I felt it. And so we walk around in the room. We spend a pretty good bit of time there. And then when she gets a chance, she had told me what she saw. At the end of the pool table, she had seen something sort of disfigured, like down, squatting down, holding the end of the pool table, like going down. Before she saw this, though, I felt pressure in my head. Like, I kept feeling something to do with my head. And I heard a, I didn't hear this. Let me try to explain it. But you know how your ears do when you hear something extremely loud? Like mm-hmm. if you shoot a gun without the ear things on.
And your ears ring.
Yes, my ears were doing that. Upstairs later, I have this pounding headache, like in the top of my head. And so I pieced this together, you know, whatever happened, there was some type of trauma involved. Now, the pool table was given to them by somebody who it was given to them. And before that, it was given to somebody else and on down the line. So there's no way to trace back the history of this pool table. But she said when she looked at it and she seen it, this was after my ears were ringing, like I'd heard something loud. You know, it's like they were stopped up and ringing. She said the head on what she had seen was long and distorted, like it was trying to melt, like if it was a long piece of plastic and that plastic was melting. That's how she described the head of this. And so later on, we go down and we invite one of the clients to come down with us. And we're all gathered around the pool table and we've got our hands on the table. And I can't speak for Kobe, but the client felt the energy coming from the table as she had her hands on the table. I felt it. Did you feel anything?
Yeah, there was definitely energy there at the table. I mean, even Foxy got a few goosebumps.
So, to come to the conclusion of the investigation, and this is what we think that the spirit there in their home is attached to the pool table, that possibly somebody suffered a hit to the head, a blow to the head, or possibly even a gunshot to the head. And as they were going down, they were holding that pool table, and that energy of that trauma pretty much is attached to that pool table.
You know, it's always,
go ahead.
It's always amazed me how traumatic events, like, I hate to say sealed to, but like attached to objects. You know, you get haunted dolls. Little girl died with the doll. The doll's haunted. Pieces of furniture. Like one of the clients that I had, this has been some time back, probably 10 years ago, had a, you know, those old wooden dressers that were like a vanity and it was like low in the middle and a little higher on both ends. I had a big like moon mirror behind it.
Yes, had, and I want one of those.
I love those. But she had one of those that it belonged to, like, I don't know, her grandmother or great grandmother. It had been in the family quite a while. And it had an attachment to it that we believed was her grandmother. She was there. So it's very strange how spirits get attached to objects like that.
Right. Well, energy never dies.
No, but why would you hang on to the pool table of all things?
Like, you think, you know, going down, the last thing that they grab was possibly the pool table.
Maybe.
You know, that was my train of thought. I mean, I don't know, but, you know, I think that could be what happened.
It's a good question as to why that happens.
Right.
We see it quite frequently.
And these are good people. I mean, I'm friends with her on Facebook and have been since the first investigation. You know, we think of them as friends. So, and they're very good people.
And I'm sure that whatever it is had nothing to do with them. Like, you buy or obtain pool tables, sometimes it's been through 5, 6, 7 families in 10 or 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people go, oh, we have an open space in there. We want a pool table. And then they realize how infrequently they're going to use a pool table. And then they get rid of the pool table and replace it with something that they will use, like a giant Thanksgiving dinner table.
Right. Well, you know, who knows? This could have been in a bar at one time.
It could have been.
You know, could have been a brawl. Something happened there.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, all the pool tables that I saw, and the majority of them were at, like, the bowling alley. You would give the money for the game, the quarter, to the person behind the counter. They'd give you the balls. And so a lot of those pool tables probably did end up in people's houses later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ones you have to put quarters into play, not so much, I don't think, because people don't want to have to pay quarters to play their own pool table. You might be able to disable that, though. I don't know.
So that'd be a good way to save money. You know, every time you play a game, you cost your quarter.
Every time your friends came over to play your pool table, they had to pay.
Yeah.
Be like having candy machines in all the local restaurants.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, and I don't see how people make a living with that.
Candy machines?
Yes. I actually, Michael and I own one.
Mm-hmm.
And we have it in a business. And I mean, like $10 a month max on that one machine.
But if you have like 200 of them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And some places are busier than others. Can you think of how much the ones at Golden Corral make?
Mm.
For real.
Especially the claw machine.
Well,
but anyway.
Yeah. Every investigation is different. And, you know, you this one was very different.
I'm sad I missed out on it, but unfortunately the current work schedule didn't allow for me to participate in this one. But it sounds like it was a really interesting time.
It was interesting.
It really was. It really was.
And we were able to validate paranormal activity downstairs and upstairs.
Yeah, it's
interesting, almost, you know, that it's not that widespread in the house.
You know, it's interesting when you're getting the same kind of activity upstairs as you are downstairs, too.
Yeah.
It's like, is it following us through the house, or what's going on here?
Yeah, we did like we usually do. We ended the investigation with a portal session with the family there. And really, I don't think we got, what did we get? Because I don't remember.
We had a few things come across the portal that was questionable. It wasn't as strong a portal session as we've had in the past in other cases. I think a lot of that, you know, just depends on the location. A lot of times, you know, like if we go back and do the same residence again, it may be a lot more active on the portal.
Yeah.
Because they get more comfortable with us and they want to, you know, want to start talking.
And then what if it's only the one spirit, like, and he just don't want to talk?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you wonder if they have moods too. Like, maybe he's just not feeling that talkative today. Maybe tomorrow when we get back, it'll be different.
And maybe he was trying to talk and he just couldn't get it across. He didn't know quite how yet.
Right. I think they do learn from us, though, because when we went to Poly Jail that time and we were investigating and I was using an app on my phone, the one spirit threatened to break my phone, and that jail closed down in like 1995. So they didn't have cell phones like these in 1995. They were giant bricks in a bag that you carried on your shoulder.
Right. Or plugged in your car.
Yeah.
The bag phone. I remember the bag phone.
My dad made me carry a bag phone to work to school with me for like 6 months because he had this fear that my mom was going to show up at my school because they weren't getting along at the time. And that thing was so heavy in my book bag. But we ordered pizza one day with it and got in trouble.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, I was the only kid at school with a cell phone. Of course we ordered pizza.
Yeah, I would like to go back to this residence, you know, and
do a follow-up.
Do a follow-up investigation and, you know,
I'm able to go.
A different group of team members.
Yeah, I'm hoping that if you go back, I'm able to go.
Yeah. We haven't, well, Michael hasn't sifted through the EVPs yet. We've had a busy week. Michael was sick last week.
All this week. It was.
Oh, Michael, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we didn't do a podcast last week because he was sick.
Yeah.
And of course, I had to baby him and take care of him. But he was just getting well. It was iffy if he was going to get to go to the investigation Saturday night or not.
Well, I'm glad he did.
Yeah, he went through the day with no fever. So, you know, that's what we were watching because we never want to take somebody sick into a client's home. But he woke up feeling, you know, okay. And as the day went, he was doing real good. So I wasn't looking forward to, and I've never investigated without him before. So, you know, I wasn't looking forward to the possibility that I may have to go without him. But I think we could have. I think I could have made it
work. Well, I know you could have made it work.
And the good thing about it, Jessica, was with Kobe and with Joe, they actually conducted the house cleansing.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. And so that was pretty awesome that, you know, I was able just to observe.
It's nice to be able to observe sometimes.
A weight off my shoulders because that is draining.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know how other people do it, but I put everything I have into it. It's like a battle with me. You know, I go into every cleansing like I'm battling these spirits and I want to get rid of them. And, you know, if somebody comes in your house and you don't want them there, you know, you don't say, would you please leave? Would you just get out of here? I really don't want you here. Would you please leave? You know, you've got to be forceful. Uh-huh. And so I put everything in. By the time we leave, it's just like, I'm dying here. But Kobe and Joe did a good job with that, and I'm very proud of them.
That's wonderful. We've got a whole team that works well together, and it's a blessing.
Yes, yes, and that's the key. I think we have a good team. We have a good, everybody brings something to the table.
I'm the comic relief.
You are so funny when we go somewhere.
I'm not funny on here because I don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't know who's listening. Like I don't want to offend anybody.
Right. Also, we have possibly added another Paracon for this year in Savannah, Georgia.
Woohoo! So
that is not finalized yet. It's in the talks. So
when?
We'll see.
When is it? Do you know?
They haven't even set a definite date yet on it. But they're wanting it sometime in the first of the year.
Like so early.
Early spring. Look, there ain't no bad time of the year to go to Savannah.
No,
there's not.
It's not. We are booked at Gettysburg the end of July.
The Gettysburg Bash.
Yes, I'm so excited about that. And we're going a day early so we can visit the battlefield.
And then, I want to go to that so bad.
And then we have my favorite, Deep South Paracomicon. Again in October. Then the end of October, we've got the Warrens Paracon.
Yeah, in Connecticut.
Yes, the last weekend in October. I am looking forward
to it. Thoroughly enjoyed that this year. I can't wait to go back.
So I really wish that we could, as a group, go to some of the bigger attractions once in a while. And I propose that we all get together and decide that we're going to take a trip to Waverly Hills. I want to go back there so bad.
I've never been.
It is a wonderful experience. If you could take somebody that did not believe in anything paranormal, they tell you that none of it exists, and you take them in Waverly Hills for a few hours, they're going to come out singing a different song.
That's the same way at Pauley Jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That night, we spent the night there. It was so active. Of course, I slept through it. I just have everything y'all tell me happened.
Those spirits knew you were asleep, too, because they told us.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It was very weird.
Yeah. And I don't know why. You take me to an overnight in a haunted location, and I get the best sleep I've ever had. It's like, sleep better than I do at home.
Which is weird.
It really is.
But I'll tell you what, I go in those places and I'll stay up really late because I'm excited about everything going on. But when I go to sleep, I sleep like a log. And it doesn't bother me. Like, people are like, you slept there? And I was like, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. Well, what if the spirits bothered you? I'm like, we get up and get more evidence. I'm not sure what you're expecting me to say.
Yeah, they wake you up, you grab the digital recorder.
That's it. I guess some people are just really afraid of the spirits, and it doesn't affect me like that. Like, I'm respectful of them. I'm not going to go in there and taunt them. But I don't have the fear that's in most people about ghosts. And so when they ask me these questions, like, I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to answer them because they're going to think I'm crazy. So I'm like, well, I mean, we just start investigating again. They're like, what? You'll leave? No, we're there to capture that. Like, why would we run away from it? It's like how firefighters run into fire, you know?
Yeah, it depends on the spirit. Now, we did an investigation in Mississippi at an old funeral home. The first night, you know, we were kind of uneasy there. Never nothing negative there. And since that visit, nobody reported being there and having anything negative happen. But we had something very negative happen the last night that we were there. Michael didn't sleep all night long. It was like something was going on. We stayed in a room that used to be where the singers would stand when they were singing at a funeral. And it had the little wooden carved out little designs in it, and you could see through it. And from there, you could see the coffin right there in front. And they did have a coffin in the chapel part of it. And we were right there looking into the chapel. And anytime we've ever been there, and stayed anywhere close to that room, you could see the coffin. We had, we slept with a light on in the hallway. And with a light on, you could see the light reflecting off the end of the coffin. It was one of those light blue ones. And this one particular night, they had told us that we could investigate the older funeral home that was just off there to the right of the property. And we went in there, and it was a building that was being remodeled. We went in there and investigated. Before that, we did the the old jail, the old county jail there in that town. And we had some stuff happen there too. We had a spirit rush us. I felt it coming up behind us, and Michael actually saw it on the SLS as it was coming up. It rushed, and then it ran right past me. You could see it just clear as day. And I think somewhere between that jail and that old funeral home, we brought something negative back with us to the one we were staying in, because the last night we were there, it was just the creepiest, eeriest feeling. The chapel was black. Even with the light on in the hall, you could not see the end of that coffin from the room that we were staying in. You couldn't see it at all. Standing at the front, looking toward the back, the street lights that are outside across the street, you could always see them and see them shining in the front door of the chapel. You could see the eye that they had their own camera system set up there, and the little red light on the cameras, you know, or any other time you could see those standing at the front of the chapel looking toward the back, you could see them. That night, you could not see them.
When the darkness comes in, it sucks all the lights out of the room. It's a very weird sensation. But remember, we had a similar experience that night that we went to that location where the murder-suicide had occurred.
Yes.
It just got dark on us all of a sudden. And I believe that when the darkness comes in, it snatches out the light. It's almost like it pulls the light energy to be able to come in.
Right. It's kind of like you can't have light and darkness at the same time.
Right.
You know, you can't have positive energy and negative energy at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. One dominates the other. But you couldn't see anything. And when we were at the front of the chapel, you could actually see a shadow figure darting around what little bit of light you could see going past the door. Well, all of us were there up front. There was nobody in there. And that night, Michael didn't sleep at all. It was uneasy. I couldn't wait till daylight because I just did not like the feeling that we were getting. It was easy.
He did the same thing at Pauley Jail, though. I don't think he slept much that night. He just kind of stayed up and kept an eye on us. But I think part of that was because when you're there, you can't lock yourself in. And so that front door remains open.
Yeah, Michael's going to make sure the team's protected. Usually when we spend the night at locations, he's the one that's, you know, rising at every sound.
Well, Michael also military. And yes. So I think some of his training kicks in and he just starts protecting the troops.
Oh, absolutely.
But I do know one thing. If I go on a location with you guys, I'm 100% safe. Because
Michael is the type, you know, team safety first, you know, because he feels like, hey, I'm responsible for every one of these people. And that's the reason he doesn't want anybody wandering off by themselves. You know, it's like you go in groups anywhere on the location property. It's like every, you know, get a partner or something. And it just works better that way for him.
We even go to the bathroom.
Of course, I'm the one that I'm the one he always comes looking for, because I start feeling an energy and I move toward it because I want to know what it is. What is the source of this? What is this all about? And I'll wander off. I'll just like be following it around.
Yeah, you will.
Like it's a little Pied Piper and, you know, I'm just traipsing off. And before I realize it, I'm away from everybody. And then I hear where is Destiny?
It's part of Kobe's job description.
Yes.
Just stay where you are.
Oh, and he does that too. He does that.
Yes, he does. He's definitely your bodyguard when Michael's not around.
Yes, he is. He won't let me out of his sight. Like I wandered off when we were in Alabama with Stan and Teresa a few weeks ago. I just started walking down the dirt road. I look around, I hear footsteps behind me, and I turn around. There's Kobe. You're not going anywhere without me. And I was like, okay, well, let's go then. And we walked a long way down there.
Yeah.
When he saw you walking off, he's like, where's mama going? So I don't know. He said, I'll be back. He goes real fast behind you.
Yeah, he won't let me out of his sight. And but then again, that's part of his job description. And I think Michael likes it because part of his job description is to protect me and try to keep me out of trouble.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. Poor Kobe.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, not to mention he's good at it, so.
Absolutely. He is. Annoying, but he's all right. You know, I wanted to tell y'all a couple of weeks ago, I read some ghost stories and I didn't tell Michael what these stories were about beforehand. I found them, you know, and a couple of them were some that were sent to me from people. And I read these ghost stories and then I had Jessica and Michael listen to them and then give me their take on these. I got three messages from people saying, I really enjoyed that. You guys need to do it again. So we're going to do that again here in 2 or 3 weeks. So that was fun. Michael even said he enjoyed that.
Can we all find a couple ghost stories?
Yes.
Let's each find a couple ghost stories to use. And then you'll get to comment too. Because last time you did all the ghost story reading and you didn't get to comment like Michael and I did.
Maybe we ought to do that like the first 15 minutes of our podcast.
Find a couple ghost stories and go over them?
Yes.
It could be fun.
Yes, it was fun. I have some guests looking at their schedule so we can have a couple of guests on the show. And one, actually, Christina Randall. Do you know who Christina Randall is?
That name seems familiar, but I can't place it.
Okay, she is on Facebook, and she does all these stories about murders and such. And
oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, and I am so warped that I go to sleep listening to her talk about serial killers and murderers and all kind of stuff. I'm weird and twisted, but Michael, even one night he said, you know, I don't know what it's like to not go to sleep without listening to Christina Randall. She did a story not too long ago about the Conjuring House. And I've noticed that she did a story about the exorcism of Emily Rose. And so I have reached out to her. And I'm so hoping that she can be a guest on our show. This woman is amazing. I love her. I think she lives in Florida. But if you don't know who she is, find her on Facebook. You'll enjoy the stories. And she does have some paranormal stories on there here of late. And she had asked what was showing something good to watch on TV. And so I had commented on there, well, if you're into paranormal, I'm on a show called Repossessed, and it's on the Hulu channel. At the time, it wasn't on Apple, or I didn't know it was on Apple. And she clicked like on that post, and I'm like, and since then, I've noticed she's covered some paranormal stories, too. And the one she did on The Conjuring House is good. It is very good. She gives some history to it that I didn't know about. So she's a good, she reports all this stuff, and she really researches it good. So I am keeping my fingers crossed for Christina Randall. But find her on Facebook. If you like stories like that, she is the go-to person.
Destiny, this is going to be right up your alley. Guess what I found on Instagram this evening?
What?
I found a lady. She finds old dollhouses to refurbish them, and then mm-hmm. she turns them into actual crime scenes, like replicas of the scenes of murders.
Wow. So let me tell you what I did today. Today, I deep cleaned my living room. I mean, everything got cleaned, and I brought my haunted dolls from the living room in here to the bedroom. And these are the creepiest little things, and these are dolls that people have given me. And I have them right here. And they are the creepiest looking things I've ever seen. Now, I haven't been able to verify that any of these dolls are haunted like the people that gave them to me, but there's one here. She is very old and she's porcelain, and I would never do this, you know, if I'm entrusted with an object that somebody thinks is haunted. I actually would never do this, but I looked up this one doll, and she is so old that her price on eBay, one just exactly like her, was $2,500.
Good grief.
So you know somebody's got to be convinced that a doll is haunted to give away a doll worth that much money. I don't think I've ever showed you these dolls. One day when you're over here, Kobe should walk over here and see these haunted babies while I've got them on the bed before I try to find somewhere to put them.
Haunted dolls are the creepiest thing.
They are very creepy.
And when I go into the Goodwill, I love going thrift shopping. I cannot stand to walk up that aisle with all them porcelain dolls. Those dolls give me the absolute creeps. I'm like Jeremy when it comes to the mirrors. Those dolls, there's something not right about it.
Yeah, you know, I do have one legitimate haunted doll, and that's LaVeda. Mm-hmm. And LaVeda has been tucked away since we brought her back from Connecticut.
Did LaVeda get to meet Annabelle?
This one little doll right here has teeth. Look at her teeth, Michael. Is this not the creepiest doll you've ever seen in your life? Yes, it does have teeth. And it doesn't have any hair. It almost looks like the side of its head was scorched by fire or something.
You know, I have a friend that has a doll that came through a fire like that. And the doll, when it's in a certain room, causes things in the room to move. And so she locked it up in a wooden crate and put a bunch of religious stuff on top of the crate because she's terrified of the doll. Like, it turns the radio off and on, and it makes books fly off the shelf, and she's terrified of it. She's given it away, and it's come back three times.
And then you've got that little haunted thing.
Not in my house.
Good girl. I think I know what that is.
What?
Well, I'll tell you later, but I think I know exactly what that is and what it was used for.
Well, that would answer a lot of questions.
I saw one very similar to it.
I've tried to do a lot of research, and it's hard to find the information on it.
Well, I happen to have seen a haunted object not long ago. This haunted object was used as pretty much a totem for a, I'd really like Stan to see a picture of that too. The one that I saw, very similar to yours, but it was used in a satanic ritual.
Holy hell.
Yes, yes. it was used in a ritual, and as soon as I saw it and I got the backstory of it, I was like, oh crap. And it looks very similar to what you have.
Like, very, I got out of my house.
Yeah.
It is in a safe place where I know where it is, because I don't want it falling into the wrong hands.
Oh, no, no.
But it will never come back in my home again.
I don't want it. I promise you that. I got enough right here. I've got more than I can handle right here.
Come on, Destiny. That's how I was getting you for Christmas this year.
No. No, no, no. You just keep that, honey. That's all you. Well,
it came into my possession because a person picked it up at Goodwill trying to keep it from falling into the wrong hands. He felt an energy from it. He was a Goodwill employee. And so he bought it to keep it from falling into the hands of somebody who might use it for negative things. And he took it to his home, and he started having immediate negative activity in his home. And so
can you send a picture of it in here so we can see it?
I'm actually working on that right now. I'm trying to find it. It's way back in my picture memory. So I'm actually scrolling for it right now. But she, it looks to be handmade and was sent to me. I talked him through sending her to me. And
I don't know what it is.
The minute that it got out of his house, the activity came to an instant halt.
Yeah, but look what it was putting on your family.
Oh, we got sickness and just disturbances between all the members of the household, and it just wasn't a pretty thing.
That was one of those, I'm on the way home from work and I'm tired and I'm giving you a pep talk, how to get rid of that thing, how to get, do a cleansing in your house and all.
Well, I knew how to do a cleansing with on what my house.
You know, with what you know, I wasn't saying I done it, like it was all me, but with what you know, and then my knowledge, we combined those together.
That's what it was I was like, okay, so I have this is my starter point. What do I do next? That's pretty much what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling, trying to find it. The picture thing on here loads really slow. Hold on a minute. I have a better way to get it. I can search for it.
Well, if not, put after the show, start a little group chat and put me, Michael, Kobe, and Stan and Teresa in it. Because I really want him to see this.
I've got it. I had sent it to a picture of it to someone.
Yeah, because he's pretty knowledgeable about stuff like this. He'll know if it was or wasn't. Or Teresa might. Teresa's got a lot of knowledge of stuff like this, too.
What I was told it was, I don't think is what it actually is. But,
well, not seen something that looked, matter of fact, I had to look at it twice because I was thinking, that's Jessica's. And then I thought, no, that's a lot like Jessica's, but it's not Jessica's.
I'm trying to get it over there now. For some reason, it didn't download like I wanted it to.
Well, it's all right. You can send it to us after the show.
I'm going to send it to your Facebook Messenger. Can you send it in too?
Yeah, I will.
That's the easiest way is to get you to share it. because my phone's being difficult at the moment. So,
oh, that thing's so creepy.
She is creepy. She is.
Yeah, I'm gonna send it to Stan. That's what I'll do here.
You can share it in the group chat there if you want to.
Well, the device we're using is connected to Michael's Facebook.
Oh, let's not do that.
And I don't know how.
Well, we'll teach you that another day.
Yeah, please do. Well, you know, our hour is coming to an end here, and I'm going to tell you, I love our moments on here so much. I love being able to talk with Jessica and Kobe and pull Michael in.
I've enjoyed it.
All right. I'm sending Stan the pictures now. If Stan is able to identify this, then we'll update the rest of you guys next week on it.
I know Stan has seen a lot more haunted objects than I have, so I would like for him to weigh in. That'd be great.
Yeah, he had a lot of haunted objects they did at their Paracon a few months back. They were some pretty amazing stuff.
I'd really like to have been able to go to that one this year, too. I'm going to make it to the next one.
Yes, you are. It's amazing. Kobe got to go with us last year, this past one.
It was an awesome time.
So much fun. And then, you know, I want to tell y'all something. Web Paranormal has TikTok. And so I'm looking at their TikTok, and there's a video on there of me being very, very silly. So if you guys are not on Web Paranormal's TikTok, go. Go like their TikTok. They've got some pretty cool stuff on there. I've watched just about all their videos now. And hey, check us out on TikTok, Michael and Destiny Fox at Fox Paranormal 22. You can also check out our page, Fox Paranormal, on Facebook. Also, we have Fox Paranormal Advertising. That's where people have teams or paranormal events or anything, ghost tours, anything posted there. We have people from all over, from just about every state in the continental United States. We even have people from the UK there. So make sure you go and join the Fox Paranormal Advertising. Share your team. I like to like new teams' as pages. I like to see what everybody's doing and see all their stuff. But I tell you what, our hour's up. Michael,
it goes so fast.
It has been a blast.
I love talking about paranormal. It's what we do. And I was glad that Joshua was able to chime in a little bit with us. I miss him going around with us so much. Kobe, it's good to have you back with us.
Good to be here.
All right, guys. Till next week. I don't know. Is next week Thanksgiving?
It is. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Stan Teresa probably is last thing on their minds. Probably going to be doing a podcast on Thursday. But we'll see what happens. Till next time. Peace and love.
Peace and love, y'all.
Night, everybody.